You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Book 3 of Paradise Regained. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Michael Sample, Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Paradise Regained by John Milton. Book 3. So spake the Son of God, and Satan stood a while as mute, confounded what to say, what to reply, confuted and convinced of his weak arguing and fallacious drift. At length, collecting all his serpent wiles, with soothing words renewed, him thus accosts, "I see thou knowest what is of use to know, what best to say, to do canst do. Thy actions to thy words accord, thy words to thy large heart give utterance due. Thy heart contains of good, wise, just, the perfect shape. Should kings and nations from thy mouth consult, thy counsel would be as the oracle, Urim and Thummim, those oraculous gems on Aaron's breast, or tongue of seers old infallible. Or, wert thou sought to deeds that might require the array of war, thy skill of conduct would be such that all the world could not sustain thy prowess, or subsist in battle, though against thy few in arms. These godlike virtues wherefore dost thou hide, affecting private life or more obscure, in savage wilderness wherefore deprive all earth her wonder at thy acts, thyself the fame and glory, glory the reward, that soul excites to high attempts the flame of most erected spirits, most tempered, pure, ethereal, who all pleasures else despise, all treasures and all gain esteem as dross, all dignities and powers, all but the highest? Thy years are ripe and overripe. The son of Macedonian Philip had ere these won Asia, and the throne of Cyrus held at his dispose. Young Scipio had brought down the Carthaginian pride, young Pompey quelled the Pontic king, and in triumph had rode. Yet years, and to ripe years, judgment mature, quench not the thirst of glory, but augment. Great Julius, whom now all the world admires, the more he grew in years, the more inflamed with glory, wept that he had lived so long inglorious. But thou art yet not too late. To whom our Saviour calmly thus replied, "Thou neither dost persuade me to seek wealth for empire's sake, nor empire to effect for glory's sake by all thy argument. For what is glory but the blaze of fame? the people's praise, if always praise unmixed? And what the people but a herd confused, a miscellaneous rabble who extol things vulgar, and, well weighed, scarce worth the praise? They praise and they admire they know not what, and know not whom but as one leads the other, and what delight to be by such extolled, to live upon their tongues and be their talk. Of whom to be dispraised were no small praise, his lot who dares by singularly good. The intelligent among them and the wise are few, and glory scarce of few is raised. This is true glory and renown, when God, looking on the earth with approbation, marks the just man, and divulges him through heaven to all his angels, who with true applause recount his praises. Thus he did to Job, when, to extend his fame through heaven and earth, as thou to thy reproach mayst well remember, he asked thee, "Hast thou seen my servant Job?" Famous he was in heaven, on earth less known, where glory is false glory, attributed to things not glorious, men not worthy of fame. They err who count it glorious to subdue by conquest far and wide, to overrun large countries and in fields great battles win, great cities by assault. What do these worthies but rob and spoil, burn, slaughter, and enslave peaceable nations, neighboring or remote, made captive, yet deserving freedom more than those their conquerors, who leave behind nothing but ruin wheresoever they rove, and all the flourishing works of peace destroy, then swell with pride, and must be titled gods, great benefactors of mankind, deliverers worshipped with temple, priest, and sacrifice. One is the son of Jove, of Mars the other, till conqueror death discover them scarce men, rowling in brutish vices, then deformed, violent, or shameful death their due reward. But if there be in glory aught of good, it may be means far different be attained. Without ambition, war, or violence, by deeds of peace, by wisdom eminent, by patience, temperance, I mention still him whom thy wrongs, with saintly patience born, made famous in a land in times obscure. Who names not now with honour patient Job? Poor Socrates, who next more memorable, by what he taught and suffered for so doing, for truth's sake, suffering death unjust, lives now equal in fame to proudest conquerors. Yet if for fame and glory aught be done, aught suffered, if young African for fame his wasted country freed from Punic rage, the deed becomes unpraised, the man at least, and loses, though but verbal, his reward. Shall I seek glory, then, as vain men seek oft not deserved? I seek not mine, but his, who sent me, and thereby witness whence I am. To whom the tempter, murmuring, thus replied, Think not so slight of glory, therein least resembling thy great father. He seeks glory, and for his glory all things made, all things orders and governs, nor content in heaven, by all his angels glorified, requires glory from men, from all men, good or bad, wise or unwise, no difference, no exception. Above all sacrifice or hallowed gift, glory he requires, and glory he receives, promiscuous from all nations, Jew or Greek or barbarous, no exception hath declared, from us his foes pronounced, glory he extracts. To whom our Saviour fervently replied, And reason, since his word all things produced, though chiefly not for glory as prime end, but to shew forth his goodness, and impart his good communicables to every soul freely. Of whom, what could he less expect than glory and benediction, that is, thanks, the slightest, easiest, readiest recompense from them who could return him nothing else, and not returning that, would likeliest render contempt instead, dishonor, obloquy, hard recompense, unsuitable return for so much good, so much beneficence. But why should man seek glory, who of his own hath nothing, and to whom nothing belongs but condemnation, ignominy, and shame? Who, for so many benefits received, turned recreant to God, ingrate and false, and so, of all true good himself despoiled, yet sacrilegious, to himself would take that which God alone of right belongs. Yet so much bounty is in God, such grace, that who advances his glory not their own, them he himself to glory will advance. So spake the Son of God, and here again Satan had not to answer, but stood struck with guilt of his own sin, for he himself, insatiable of glory, had lost all. Yet of another plea bethought him soon. Of glory as thou wilt, said he, so deem, worth or not worth the seeking, let it pass. But to a kingdom thou art born, ordained to sit upon thy father David's throne, by mother's side thy father, though thy right be now in powerful hands, that will not part easily from possession won with arms. Judea now in all the promised land reduced a province under Roman yoke, obeys Tiberius, nor is always ruled with temperate sway. Oft they have violated the temple, oft the law with foul affronts, abominations rather, as did once Antiochus. And thinkest thou to regain thy right by sitting still or thus retiring? So did not Maccabeus. He indeed retired unto the desert, but with arms, and o'er many kings so oft prevailed, that by strong hand his family obtained, through priests the crown, and David's throne usurped, with Modin and her suburbs once content. If kingdom move thee not, let move thee zeal and duty. Zeal and duty are not slow, but on occasion's forelock watchful wait. They themselves, rather, are occasion best. Zeal of thy father's house, duty to free thy country from her heathen servitude. So shalt thou best fulfill, best verify, the prophets old, who sung thy endless reign, the happier reign the sooner it begins. Reign, then, what canst thou do better the while? To whom our Saviour answer thus returned, all things are best fulfilled in their due time, and time there is for all things, truth has said. If of my reign prophetic writ hath told that it shall never end, so when begin the Father in his purpose hath decreed, he in whose hand all times and seasons roll. What if he hath decreed that I shall first be tried in humble state, and things adverse, by tribulations, injuries, insults, contempts and scorns, and snares and violence, suffering, abstaining, quietly expecting, without distrust or doubt, that he may know what I can suffer, how obey? Who best can suffer best, can do, best reign, who first well hath obeyed, just trial ere I merit, my exaltation without charge or end. But what concerns it thee, when I begin my everlasting kingdom? Why art thou solicitous? What moves thy inquisition? Knowest thou not that my rising is thy fall, and my promotion will be thy destruction? To whom the tempter, inly racked, replied, let that come when it comes. All hope is lost of my reception into grace. What worse? For where no hope is left no fear. If there be worse, the expectation more of worse torments me than the feeling can, I would be at the worst. Worst is my port, my harbour, and my ultimate repose, the end I would attain, my final good. My error was my error, and my crime, whatever, for itself condemned, and will alike be punished, whether thou reign or reign not. Though to that gentle brow willingly I could fly, and hope thy reign, from that placid aspect and meek regard, rather than aggravate my evil state, would stand between me and thy father's ire, whose ire I dread more than the fire of hell, a shelter and a kind of shading cool, interposition as a summer's cloud. If I then, to the worst that can be haste, why move thy feet so slow to what is best? Happiness both to thyself and all the world, that thou, who worthiest art, shouldst be their king. Perhaps thou lingerest in deep thoughts detained of the enterprise so hazardous and high. No wonder, for though in thee be united what of perfection can in man be found, or human nature can receive, consider thy life hath yet been private. most part spent at home, scarce viewed by Galilean crowds, and once a year in Jerusalem, few days short sojourn, and what thence couldst thou observe? The world thou hast not seen, much less her glory, empires and monarchs and their radiant courts, best school of best experience, quickest in sight, in all things that to greatest action lead. The wisest, unexperienced, will ever be timorous and loth, with nervous modesty, as he who, seeking asses, found a kingdom, irresolute, unhardy, unadventurous. But I will bring thee where thou soon shalt quit those rudiments, and see before thine eyes the monarchies of the earth, their pomp and state, sufficient introduction to inform thee of thyself so apt in regal arts and regal mysteries, that thou mayst know how best their opposition to withstand. With that, such power as was given him then, he took the Son of God up to a mountain high. It was a mountain at whose verdant feet a spacious plain outstretched in circuit wide lay pleasant. From his side two rivers flowed, the one winding, the other straight, and left between fair champaign, with less rivers intervened, then meeting joined their tribute to the sea. Fertile of corn the glebe of oil and wine, with herds of pasture thronged, with flocks the hills, huge cities and high towered that well might seem the seats of mightiest monarchs, and so large the prospect was that here and there was room for barren desert, fountainless and dry. To this high mountain top the tempter brought our Saviour, and new train of words began. Well, we have speeded, and o'er hill and dale, forest and field and flood, and temples and towers cut shorter many a league. Here thou beholdest Assyria, and her empire's ancient bounds, Araxes and the Caspian lake, thence on as far as Indus east, Euphrates west, and oft beyond, to south the Persian bay, and inaccessible the Arabian drouth. Here Nineveh, of length within her wall, several days' journey, built by Ninus old, and of that first golden monarchy, the seat and seat of Salmanassar, whose success Israel in long captivity still mourns. There Babylon, the wonder of all tongues, as ancient but rebuilt by him who twice Judah and all thy father David's house led captive, and Jerusalem laid waste till Cyrus set them free, Persepolis, his city, there thou seest, and Bactra there, Ecbatana, her structure vast, their shoes, and Hecatompylos, her 100 gates, there Susa by Shoapses, amber stream, the drink of none but kings, of later fame built by Emathian or by Parthian hands, the great Seleucia, Nisibis, and there Artaxata, Pteridon, Ctesiphon. Turning with easy eye, thou mayst behold all these Parthian, now some ages past, by great Arsaces led, who founded first that empire, under his dominion holds, from the luxurious kings of Antioch won. And just in time thou comest to have a view of his great power, for now the Parthian king in Ctesiphon hath gathered all his host against the Scythian, whose incursions wild have wasted Sogdiana. To her aid he marches now in haste. See, though from far, his thousands, in what martial equipage they issue forth, steel bows and shafts their arms, of equal dread in flight or in pursuit, all horsemen in which fight they most excel. See how in warlike muster they appear, in rhombs and wedges and half-moons and wings. He looked, and saw what numbers numberless, the city gates outpoured, light-armed troops in coats of mail and military pride, in mail their horses clad, yet fleet and strong. Prancing their riders bore, the flower and choice of many provinces from bound to bound, from Arachosia, from Candaor east, from Margiana to the Hyrcanian cliffs, of Caucasus, of dark Iberian dales, from Atropatia and the neighbouring plains of Adiabene, Media, and the south of Susiana to Balsara's heaven. He saw them in their forms of battle ranged, how quick they wheeled, and flying behind them shot sharp sleet of arrowy showers against the face of their pursuers, and overcame by flight the field all iron cast a gleaming brown. Nor wanted clouds of foot, nor on each horn cuirassiers, all in steel for standing fight, chariots, or elephants endorsed with towers of archers, nor of laboring pioneers, a multitude with spades and axes armed. To lay hills plain, fell woods, or valleys fill, or where the plain was raised hill or overlay, with bridges rivers proud, as with a yoke, mules after these, camels and dromedaries, and wagons fraught with utensils of war. Such forces met not, nor so wide a camp. When Agrican, with all his northern powers, besieged Albracia, as romances tell, the city of Gallifrone, from thence to win the fairest of her sex, Angelica, his daughter, sought by many prowess knights, both Paynim and the peers of Charlemagne. Such and so numerous was their chivalry, at sight whereof the fiend yet more presumed, and to our Saviour thus his words renewed. That thou mayest know I seek not to engage thy virtue, and not every way secure on no slight grounds thy safety, hear and mark to what end I have brought thee hither, and shew all this fair sight. Thy kingdom, though foretold by prophet or by angel, unless thou endeavour as thy father David did, thou never shalt obtain. Prediction still in all things, as all men, supposes means. Without means used, what it predicts revokes. But say thou wert possessed of David's throne, by free consent of all, none opposite, Samaritan or Jew, how couldst thou hope long to enjoy it quiet and secure between such enclosing enemies, Roman and Parthian? Therefore one of these thou must make sure thy own, the Parthian first. By my advice, as nearer and of late, found able by invasion to annoy thy country, and captive lead away her kings, Antigonus and old Hyrcanus bound, Maugre the Roman. It shall be my task to render thee the Parthian at dispose. Choose which thou wilt, by conquest or by league, by him thou shalt regain, without him not, that with alone can truly reinstall thee in David's royal seat, his true successor. Deliverance of thy brethren, those 10 tribes whose offspring in this territory yet serve in Haber, and among the Medes dispersed, the sons of Jacob, 2 of Joseph, lost thus long from Israel, serving as of old their fathers in the land of Egypt served. This offer sets before thee to deliver. These, if from servitude thou shalt restore to their inheritance, then, not till then, thou on the throne of David in full glory, from Egypt to Euphrates and beyond, shalt reign, and Rome or Caesar need not fear. To whom our Saviour answered thus, unmoved, much ostentation, vain of fleshly arm and fragile arms, much instrument of war, long in preparing, soon to nothing brought. Before mine eyes thou hast set, and in mine ear vented much policy, and projects deep of enemies, of aids, battles, and leagues. Plausible to the world, to me worth naught. Means I must use, thou sayest. Prediction else will unpredict, and fail me of the throne. By time I told thee, and that time for thee were better farthest off, is not yet come. When that comes, think not thou to find me slack, on my part aught endeavouring, or to need thy politic maxims, or that cumbersome luggage of war there shown me, argument of human weakness rather than of strength. My brethren, as thou called them, those 10 tribes I must deliver, if I mean to reign David's true heir, and his full sceptre sway to just extent o'er all Israel's sons. But whence to thee this zeal? Where was it then for Israel, or for David, or his throne, when thou stoodst up his temper to the pride of numbering Israel, which cost the lives of 70,000 Israelites by 3 days' pestilence? Such was thy zeal to Israel's then, the same that now to me. As for those captive tribes, themselves were they who wrought their own captivity, fell off from God to worship calves, the deities of Egypt, Baal next, and Ashtaroth, and all the idolatries of heathen round, besides their other worse than heathenish crimes, nor in the land of their captivity humbled themselves or penitent besought the God of their forefathers, but so died impenitent, and left a race behind like to themselves, distinguishable scarce from Gentiles, but by circumcision vain, and God with idols in their worship joined. Should I of these the liberty regard, who freed, as to their ancient patrimony, unhumbled, unrepentant, unreformed, headlong would follow, and to their gods perhaps of Bethel and of Dan? No, let them serve their enemies who serve idols with God. Yet he at length, time himself to know, remembering Abraham, by some wondrous call may bring them back, repentant and sincere, and at their passing cleave the Assyrian flood, while to their native land with joy they haste, as the Red Sea and Jordan once he cleft, when to the promised land their fathers passed. To his due time and providence I leave them. So spake Israel's true king, and to the fiend made answer meet, that made void all his wiles. So fares it when with truth falsehood contends. End of Book 3. Read by Michael Sample.
Paradise Regained, Book 4. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This reading by Anna Roberts. Paradise Regained by John Milton, Book 4. Perplexed and troubled at his bad success, the tempter stood, nor had what to reply, discovered in his fraud, thrown from his hope so oft, and the persuasive rhetoric that sleeked his tongue, and won so much on Eve, so little here, nay lost. But Eve was Eve, this far his overmatch, who, self-deceived and rash, beforehand, had no better weighed the strength that he was to cope with, or his own. But, as a man who had been matchless held in cunning, overreached where least he ought, to salve his credit, and for very spite, still will be tempting to him who foils him still, and never cease, though to his shame the more. Or as a swarm of flies in vintage time, about the wine-press where sweet must is poured, beat off, returns as oft with humming sound, or surging waves against a solid rock, though all to shivers dashed, the assault renew, vain battery, and in froth or bubbles end. So Satan, whom repulse upon repulse met ever, and to shameful silence brought, yet gives not o'er, though desperate of success, and his vain importunity pursues. He brought our Saviour to the western side of that high mountain, whence he might behold another plain, long, but in breadth not wide, washed by the southern sea, and on the north, to equal length backed with a ridge of hills that screen the fruits of the earth and seats of men from cold septentrion blasts, thence in the midst divided by a river, off whose banks on each side an imperial city stood, with towers and temples proudly elevate, on seven small hills, with palaces adorned, porches and theatres, baths, aqueducts, statues and trophies, and triumphal arcs, gardens and groves, presented to his eyes above the height of mountains interposed, by what strange parallax, or optic skill of vision, multiplied through air or glass of telescope, were curious to inquire. And now the tempter thus his silence broke. The city which thou seest, no other deem than great and glorious Rome, queen of the earth so far renowned, and with the spoils enriched of nations. There the capital thou seest, above the rest lifting his stately head on the Tarpeian rock, her citadel impregnable, and there, Mount Palatine, the imperial palace, compass huge, and high the structure, skill of noblest architects, with gilded battlements, conspicuous far, turrets and terraces and glittering spires. Many a fair edifice besides, more like houses of gods, so well I have disposed my airy microscope, thou mayest behold, outside and inside both, pillars and roofs carved work, the hand of famed artificers, in cedar, marble, ivory, or gold. Thence to the gates cast round thine eye, and see what conflux issuing forth or entering in, praetors, proconsuls to their provinces hasting, or on return in robes of state, lictors and rods, the ensigns of their power, legions and cohorts, terms of horse and wings, or embassies from regions far remote, in various habits, on the Appian road, or on the Emilian, some from farthest south, Syene, and where the shadow both way falls, Meroe, Nilotic Isle, and, more to west, the realm of Bacchus to the Black Moor Sea, from the Asian kings, and Parthian among these, from India and the golden Chersonese, and utmost Indian isle Taprobane, dusk faces with white silken turbans wreathed, from Gallia, Gades and the British West, Germans and Scythians, and Sarmatians north beyond Danubius to the Tauric Pool. All nations now to Rome obedience pay, to Rome's great emperor, whose wide domain, in ample territory, wealth and power, civility of manners, arts and arms, and long renown, thou justly mayst prefer before the Parthian. These two thrones except, the rest are barbarous, and scarce worth the sight, shared among petty kings too far removed. These having shewn thee, I have shewn thee all, the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. This emperor hath no son, and now is old, old and lascivious, and from Rome retired to Capri, an island small but strong on the Campanian shore, with purpose there his horrid lusts in private to enjoy, committing to a wicked favourite all public cares, and yet of him suspicious, hated of all and hating. With what ease, endued with regal virtues as thou art, appearing and beginning noble deeds, mightest thou expel this monster from his throne, now made a sty, and, in his place ascending, a victor people free from servile yoke. And with my help thou mayest. To me the power is given, and by that right I give it thee. Aim, therefore, at no less than all the world. Aim at the highest. Without the highest attained, will be for thee no sitting, or not long, on David's throne, be prophesied what will. To whom the Son of God, unmoved, replied, Nor doth this grandeur and majesty shew of luxury, though called magnificence, more than of arms before, allure mine eye, much less my mind, though thou shouldst add to tell their sumptuous gluttonies, and gorgeous feasts on citron tables or Atlantic stone, for I have also heard, perhaps have read, their wines of Setia, Cales, and Falerne, Chios and Crete, and how they quaff in gold, crystal, and murine cups, embossed with gems and studs of pearl, to me shouldst tell, who thirst and hunger still. Then embassies thou showst from far and nigh. What honour that, but tedious waste of time, to sit and hear so many hollow compliments and lies, outlandish flatteries? Then proceedest to talk of the emperor, how easily subdued, how gloriously. I shall, thou sayest, expel a brutish monster. What if I, withal, expel a devil who first made him such? Let his tormentor, conscience, find him out. For I was not sent, nor yet to free that people, victor once, now vile and base, deservedly made vassal, who, once just, frugal, and mild, and temperate, conquered well, but governed ill the nations under yoke, peeling their provinces, exhausted all by lust and rapine. First ambitious groan of triumph, that insulting vanity, then cruel, by their sports to blood inured, of fighting beasts, and men to beasts exposed, luxurious by their wealth, and greedier still, and from the daily scene effeminate. What wise and valiant man would seek to free these, thus degenerate, by themselves enslaved, or could of inward slaves make outward free? Know, therefore, when my season comes to sit on David's throne, it shall be like a tree spreading and overshadowing all the earth, or as a stone that shall to pieces dash all monarchies besides throughout the world, and of my kingdom there shall be no end. Means there shall be to this, but what the means is not for thee to know, nor me to tell. To whom the tempter, impudent, replied, I see all offers made by me how slight thou valuest, because offered and rejectest. Nothing will please the difficult and nice, or nothing more than still to contradict. On the other side, know also thou that I, on what I offer, set as high esteem, nor what I part with mean to give for naught. All these, which in a moment thou beholdest, the kingdoms of the world, to thee I give, forgiven to me, I give to whom I please, no trifle. Yet with this reserve, not else, on this condition, if thou wilt fall down and worship me as thy superior lord, easily done, and hold them all of me, for what can less so great a gift deserve? Whom thus our Saviour answered with disdain, I never liked thy talk, thy offers less. Now both abhor, since thou hast dared to utter the abominable terms, impious condition. But I endure the time till which expired thou hast permission on me. It is written, the first of all commandments, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt serve. And darest thou to the Son of God propound to worship thee, accursed, now more accursed for this attempt, bolder than that on Eve, and more blasphemous, which expect to rue. The kingdoms of the world to thee were given, permitted rather, and by thee usurped. Other donation none thou canst produce. If given, by whom? But by the King of Kings, God over all supreme. If given to thee, by thee how fairly is the giver now repaid. But gratitude in thee is lost long since. Wert thou so void of fear or shame as offer them to me, the Son of God, to me my own, on such abhorred pact, that I fall down and worship thee as God? Get thee behind me, plain thou now appearest to that evil one, Satan forever damned. To whom the fiend, with fear abashed, replied, Be not so sore offended, Son of God, though sons of God both angels are and men, if I, to try whether in higher sort than these thou bearest that title, have proposed, what both from men and angels I receive, tetrarchs of fire, air, flood, and on the earth, nations besides from all the quartered winds, God of this world invoked and world beneath. Who then thou art, whose coming is foretold to me most fatal, me it most concerns. The trial hath endamaged thee no way, rather more honour left and more esteem, me not advantaged, missing what I aimed. Therefore let pass, as they are transitory, the kingdoms of this world. I shall no more advise thee, gain them as thou canst or not. And thou thyself seemest otherwise inclined than to a worldly crown, addicted more to contemplation and profound dispute, as by that early action may be gained. When, slipping from thy mother's eye, thou wentest alone into the temple, there wast found among the gravest rabbis, disputant on points and questions fitting Moses' chair, teaching not taught. The childhood shows the man, as morning shows the day. Be famous, then, by wisdom. As thy empire must extend, so let extend thy mind o'er all the world in knowledge, all things in it comprehend. All knowledge is not couched in Moses' law, the Pentateuch, or what the prophets wrote. The Gentiles also know, and write, and teach to admiration, led by nature's light. And with the Gentiles much thou must converse, ruling them by persuasion as thou meanest. Without their learning, how wilt thou with them, or they with thee, hold conversation meet? How wilt thou reason with them? How refute their idolisms, traditions, paradoxes? Error by his own arms is best evinced. Look once more, ere we leave this specular mount, westward, much nearer by southwest. Behold, where on the Aegean shore a city stands, built nobly, pure the air, and light the soil. Athens, the eye of Greece, mother of arts and eloquence, native to famous wits, or hospitable in her sweet recess, city or suburban, studious walks and shades. See there the olive grove of Academe, Plato's retirement, where the Attic bird trills her thick warbled notes the summer long. There, flowery hill, Hymettus, with the sound of bees' industrious murmur, oft invites to studious musing. There Ilissus rouses his whispering stream. Within the walls then view the schools of ancient sages, his who bred great Alexander to subdue the world, Lyceum there, and painted Stoa next. There thou shalt hear and learn the secret power of harmony, in tones and numbers hit by voice or hand, and various measured verse, Aeolian charms, and Dorian lyric odes, and his who gave them breath, but higher sung, blind Melesigenes, thence Homer called, whose poem Phoebus challenged for his own. Thence what the lofty grave tragedians taught, in chorus or iambic, teachers best of moral prudence, with delight received in brief sententious precepts, while they treat of fate and chance and change in human life, high actions and high passions best describing. Thence to the famous orators repair, those ancient whose resistless eloquence wielded at will that fierce democracy, shook the arsenal and full mind over Greece to Macedon and Artaxerxes' throne. To sage philosophy next lend thine ear, from heaven descended to the low-roofed house of Socrates, see there his tenement, whom, well inspired, the oracle pronounced wisest of men, from whose mouth issued forth mellifluous streams that watered all the schools of academics, old and new, with those surnamed peripatetics, and the sect Epicurean, and the Stoic severe. These here revolve, or, as thou likest, at home, till time mature thee to a kingdom's weight. These rules will render thee a king complete within thyself, much more with empire joined. To whom our Saviour sagely thus replied, Think not but that I know these things, or think I know them not, therefore am I short of knowing what I ought. He who receives light from above, from the fountain of light, no other doctrine needs, though granted true, but these are false, or little else but dreams, conjectures, fancies, built on nothing firm. The first and wisest of them all professed to know this only, that he nothing knew, the next to fabling fell and smooth conceits. A third sort doubted all things, though plain sense. Others in virtue placed felicity, but virtue joined with riches and long life. In corporal pleasure he, and careless ease. The Stoic last, in philosophic pride, by him called virtue, and his virtuous man, wise, perfect in himself, and all-possessing, equal to God, oft shames not to prefer, as fearing God nor man, contemning all wealth, pleasure, pain or torment, death and life, which, when he lists, he leaves, or boasts he can. For all his tedious talk is but vain boast, or subtle shifts conviction to evade. Alas, what can they teach and not mislead, ignorant of themselves, of God much more, and how the world began, and how men fell, degraded by himself, on grace depending? Much of the soul they talk, but all awry, and in themselves seek virtue, and to themselves all glory arrogate, to God give none, rather accuse him under usual names, fortune and fate, as one regardless quite of moral things. Who therefore seeks in these true wisdom finds her not, or, by delusion far worse, her false resemblance only meets, an empty cloud. However, many books, wise men have said, are wearisome, who reads incessantly, and to his reading brings not a spirit and judgment equal or superior, and what he brings what needs he elsewhere seek, uncertain and unsettled still remains, deep versed in books and shallow in himself, crude or intoxicate, collecting toys and trifles for choice matters worth a sponge, as children gathering pebbles on the shore. Or, if I would delight my private hours with music or with poem, where so soon as in our native language can I find that solace? All our law and story strewed with hymns, our psalms with artful terms inscribed, our Hebrew songs and harps, in Babylon that please so well our victor's ear, declare that rather Greece from us these arts derived, ill imitated, while they loudest sing the vices of their deities, and their own, in fable, hymn, or song, so personating their gods ridiculous, and themselves past shame. Remove their swelling epithets, thick laid as varnish on a harlot's cheek, the rest, thin sown with aught of profit or delight, will far be found unworthy to compare with Zion's songs, to all true tastes excelling, where God is praised aright, and godlike men, the holiest of holies and his saints, such are from God inspired, not such from thee, unless where moral virtue is expressed by light of nature, not in all quite lost. Their orators thou then extollest as those the top of eloquence, statists indeed, and lovers of their country, as may seem, but herein to our prophets far beneath, as men divinely taught, and better teaching the solid rules of civil government in their majestic, unaffected style, than all the oratory of Greece and Rome. In them is plainest taught, and easiest learnt, what makes a nation happy, and keeps it so, what ruins kingdoms, and lays cities flat. These only, with our law, best form a king. So spake the Son of God, but Satan, now quite at a loss, for all his darts were spent, thus to our Saviour with stern brow replied, Since neither wealth nor honour, arms nor arts, kingdom nor empire pleases thee, nor aught by me proposed in life contemplative or active, tended on by glory or fame, what dost thou in this world? The wilderness for thee is fittest place. I found thee there, and thither will return thee. Yet remember what I foretell thee. Soon thou shalt have cause to wish thou never hadst rejected, thus nicely or cautiously, my offered aid, which would have set thee in short time with ease on David's throne, or throne of all the world, now at full age, fullness of time, thy season, when prophecies of thee are best fulfilled. Now, contrary, if I read aught in heaven, or heaven write aught of fate, by what the stars, voluminous, or single characters in their conjunction met, give me to spell, sorrows and labors, opposition, hate attends thee, scorns, reproaches, injuries, violence and stripes, and lastly, cruel death. A kingdom they portend thee, but what kingdom, real or allegoric, I cannot discern, nor when, eternal, sure, as without end, without beginning, for no date prefixed directs me in the starry rubric set. So saying, he took, for still he knew his power not yet expired, and to the wilderness brought back the Son of God, and left him there, feigning to disappear. Darkness now rose, as daylight sunk, and brought in luring night, her shadowy offspring, unsubstantial both, privation mere of light and absent day. Our Saviour, meek, and with untroubled mind after his airy jaunt, though hurried sore, hungry and cold, betook him to his rest, wherever, under some concourse of shades, whose branching arms thick intertwined might shield from dews and damps of night his sheltered head. But sheltered, slept in vain, for at his head the tempter watched, and soon with ugly dreams disturbed his sleep. And either tropic now gan thunder, and both ends of heaven, the clouds from many a horrid rift abortive, poured fierce rain with lightning mixed, water with fire, in ruin reconciled. Nor slept the winds within their stony caves, but rushed abroad from the four hinges of the world, and fell on the vexed wilderness, whose tallest pines, though rooted deep as high, and sturdiest oaks, bowed their stiff necks, loaded with stormy blasts, or torn up sheer. Ill wast thou shrouded then, O patient Son of God, yet only stoodst unshaken. Nor yet stayed the terror there. Infernal ghosts and hellish furies round environed thee. Some howled, some yelled, some shrieked, some bent at thee their fiery darts, while thou sattest unappalled in calm and sinless peace. Thus passed the night so foul, till morning fair came forth with pilgrim steps, in amice gray, who with her radiant finger stilled the roar of thunder, chased the clouds, and laid the winds, and griesly spectres, which the fiend had raised to tempt the Son of God with terrors dire. And now the sun, with more effectual beams, had cheered the face of the earth, and dried the wet from drooping plant, or dropping tree. The birds, who all things now behold more fresh and green, after a night of storm so ruinous, cleared up their choicest notes, in bush and in spray, to gratulate the sweet return of morn. Nor yet, amidst this joy and brightest morn, was absent, after all his mischief done, the Prince of Darkness. Glad would also seem of this fair change, and to our Saviour came. Yet with no new device, they all were spent. Rather, by this, his last affront resolved, desperate of better course, to vent his rage, and mad despite to be so oft repelled. Him walking on a sunny hill he found, backed on the north and west by a thick wood, and out of the wood he starts in wonted shape, and in a careless mood thus to him said, "Fair morning yet betides thee, Son of God, after a dismal night. I heard the rack, as earth and sky would mingle, but myself was distant. And these flaws, though mortals fear them, as dangerous to the pillared frame of heaven, or to the earth's dark basis underneath, are to the main as inconsiderable and harmless, if not wholesome, as a sneeze to man's less universe, and soon are gone. Yet, as being oft-times noxious where they light on man, beast, plant, wasteful and turbulent, like turbulencies in the affairs of men, over whose heads they roar and seem to point, they oft foresignify and threaten ill. This tempest at this desert most was bent, of men at thee, for only thou here dwellest. Did I not tell thee, if thou didst reject the perfect season offered with my aid to win thy destined seat, but wilt prolong all to the push of fate, pursue thy way of gaining David's throne no man knows when, for both the when and the how is nowhere told. Thou shalt be what thou art ordained, no doubt, for angels have proclaimed it, but concealing the time and means. Each act is rightliest done, not when it must, but when it may be best. If thou observe not this, be sure to find what I foretold thee, many a hard assay of dangers and adversities and pains, ere thou of Israel's scepter get fast hold, whereof this ominous night that closed thee round, so many terrors, voices, prodigies, may warn thee, as a sure foregoing sign. So talked he, while the Son of God went on, and stayed not, but in brief him answered thus, Me worse than wet thou findest not. Other harm those tares which thou speakest of did me none. I never feared they could, though noising loud and threatening nigh. What they can do as signs, betokening or ill-boding, I contemn as false portents, not sent from God, but thee, who, knowing I shall reign past thy preventing, obtrudest thy offered aid, that I, accepting, at least might seem to hold all power of thee, ambitious spirit, and wouldst be thought my God, and stormest, refused, thinking to terrify me to thy will. Desist, thou art discerned, and toilest in vain, nor me in vain molest. To whom the fiend, now swollen with rage, replied, Then hear, O son of David, virgin born, for son of God to me is yet in doubt. Of the Messiah I have heard foretold by all the prophets, of thy birth at length announced by Gabriel, with the first I knew, and of the angelic song in Bethlehem field, on thy birth night that sung thee Saviour born. From that time seldom have I ceased to eye thy infancy, thy childhood, and thy youth, thy manhood last, though yet in private bread, till at the ford of Jordan, whither all flocked to see the Baptist, I among the rest, though not to be baptized, by voice from heaven heard thee pronounce the Son of God beloved. Thenceforth I thought thee worth my nearer view and narrower scrutiny, that I might learn in what degree or meaning thou art called the Son of God, which bears no single sense. The Son of God I also am, or was, and if I was, I am. Relation stands. All men are sons of God, yet thee I thought in some respect far higher so declared. Therefore I watched thy footsteps from that hour, and followed thee still on to this waste wild, where, by all best conjectures, I collect thou art to be my fatal enemy. Good reason, then, if I beforehand seek to understand my adversary, who and what he is, his wisdom, power, intent, by parley or composition, truce or league, to win him, or win from him what I can. And opportunity I here have had to try thee, sift thee, and confess have found thee proof against all temptation, as a rock of adamant and as a centre, firm to the utmost of mere man both wise and good, not more. For honours, riches, kingdoms, glory, have been before condemned, and may again. Therefore, to know what more thou art than man, worth naming the Son of God by voice from heaven, another method I must now begin. So saying, he caught him up, and without wing of hippogriff, bore through the air sublime, over the wilderness and o'er the plain, till underneath them fair Jerusalem, the holy city, lifted high her towers, and higher yet the glorious temple reared her pile, far off appearing like a mount of alabaster, topped with golden spires. There, on the highest pinnacle, he set the Son of God, and added thus in scorn, There stand, if thou wilt stand, to stand upright will ask thee skill. I to thy father's house have brought thee, and highest placed, highest is best. Now shew thy progeny, if not to stand, cast thyself down. Safely, if Son of God, for it is written, He will give command concerning thee to his angels, in their hands they shall uplift thee, lest at any time thou chance to dash thy foot against a stone. To whom thus Jesus? Also it is written, Tempt not the Lord thy God. He said and stood, but Satan, smitten with amazement, fell. As when earth's son, Antaeus, to compare small things with greatest, in Erasa strove with Jove's Alcides, and, oft foiled, still rose, receiving from his mother earth new strength, fresh from his fall, and fiercer grapple joined, throttled at length in the air expired and fell. So, after many a foil, the tempter proud, renewing fresh assaults, amidst his pride, fell, whence he stood to see his victor fall. And, as that Theban monster that proposed her riddle, and him who solved it not devoured, that once found out and solved, for grief and spite, cast herself headlong from the Ismanian steep, so, struck with dread and anguish, fell the fiend, and to his crew, that sat consulting, brought joyless triumphals of his hoped success, ruin and desperation and dismay, who durst so proudly tempt the Son of God. So Satan fell, and straight a fiery globe of angels on full sail of wing flew nigh, who on their plumy vans received him soft from his uneasy station, and upbore, as on a floating couch, through the blithe air, Then, in a flowery valley, sat him down on a green bank, and set before him spread a table of celestial food, divine ambrosial fruits fetched from the tree of life, and from the fount of life ambrosial drink, that soon refreshed him wearied, and repaired what hunger, if aught hunger, had impaired, or thirst. And, as he fed, angelic queries sung heavenly anthems of his victory, over temptation and the tempter proud. True image of the Father, whether throned in the bosom of bliss, and light of light conceiving, or remote from heaven, enshrined in fleshly tabernacle and human form, wandering the wilderness, whatever place, habit, or state, or motion, still expressing the Son of God, with godlike force endued against the attempter of thy Father's throne and thief of paradise. Him long of old thou didst debel, and down from heaven cast with all his army. Now thou hast avenged, supplanted Adam, and, by vanquishing temptation, hast regained lost paradise, and frustrated the conquest fraudulent. He never more henceforth will dare set foot in paradise to tempt. His snares are broke. For, though that seat of earthly bliss be failed, a fairer paradise is founded now for Adam and his chosen sons, whom thou, a Saviour, art come down to reinstall, where they shall dwell secure, when time shall be, of tempter and temptation without fear. But thou, infernal serpent, shalt not long rule in the clouds. Like an autumnal star, or lightning, thou shalt fall from heaven, trod down under his feet. For proof, ere this thou feelest thy wound, yet not thy last and deadliest wound, by this repulse received, and holdest in hell no triumph. In all her gates Abaddon rues thy bold attempt. Hereafter learn with awe to dread the Son of God. He, all unarmed, shall chase thee, with the terror of his voice, from thy demoniac holds, possession foul, thee and thy legions, yelling they shall fly, and beg to hide them in a herd of swine, lest he command them down into the deep, bound, and to torment sent before their time. Hail, Son of the Most High, heir of both worlds, queller of Satan! On thy glorious work now enter, and begin to save mankind. Thus they, the Son of God, our Saviour meek, sung victor, and, from heavenly feast refreshed, brought on his way with joy. He, unobserved, home to his mother's house, private, returned. End of Book 4. End of Paradise Regained by John Milton.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.